On the show today, we have Synaptic's very own Eric Steinhoff talking about how lenders can leverage AI for growth opportunities, and this was quite the intriguing conversation, so check it out. Welcome back to our program, and on today's program, we have Mr. Eric Steinhoff from Synaptic. Eric, how are you, sir?
I am great, Mike. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, good to have you on. Always good to have you on. It's always an education. So, and I always enjoy talking about artificial intelligence because I still find it fascinating, even though we're probably like, what, a decade into it, and I'm still finding it fascinating. So,
hey, like all of us, I think it's one of those things that continues to approach and touch every part of our lives. And we all just want to keep learning more about it and stay exactly on that cutting edge.
Yeah. I mean, whether you know it or not, it is in your life big time. Absolutely. And you are here to tell us a little bit more about that kind of from the lending perspective, because today's topic, everybody, is how lenders can leverage AI for growth opportunities. So with that, Eric, I'm going to start out with, how can lenders leverage AI for growth opportunities? Kind of the obvious question here, because it sounds like more and more financial institutions are now considering AI-enabled credit decisioning as a way to reach and help more of their borrowers while growing their lending portfolios at the same time. So just to kind of get an overview here, what's get your take on that?
Sure. I think all lenders are looking to lend more, right? The way to grow is to get more applications, yep, and then approve more of those applications. And what, yep, AI really does is help you, at least the AI we're going to focus on today, is really help you achieve that second component, which is how can I approve more of the people who are coming through the door, more of the applicants that are looking for credit, how can I approve them and approve them confidently? And I think, the counter to that is, how do I do it without blowing up risk? How do I do it without approving people that I maybe are higher risk than I'm comfortable lending to? And so the way to think of AI is really that AI provides a better, more precise risk prediction of those people who are applying for credit. To use a simplified example, if you're a lender today, and let's say you approve everyone who's FICO above 720 and you decline everyone below 720, you're leaving some meat on that bone. You know there are good, healthy, low-risk applicants relatively low-risk applicants under that 720 cutoff, but maybe you're worried or not comfortable lending to them without having additional data. And so what AI can do, and what it does when I work with it to help underwriters make better decisions, to help lenders make better decisions, is just to get a better, more comprehensive, more precise signal to say, oh yeah, applicant A, who has a 660 FICO but has all of these characteristics, is much lower risk than applicant B, who has the same FICO. And if I were just relying on that single score, I would miss that.
Yeah. And so this is where we're going now. This is going to greatly help out lenders out there, credit unions in this case. So yeah, to give them a more clearer picture, a more accurate picture to, So how can AI reduce the friction and eliminate costs and mitigate risk for credit unions here? Because you already touched on it by giving us a clearer picture, so to speak.
Yeah. So when we get that clearer picture, that lets us lend with more confidence. One of the things I'm really focused on, what I do all day, every day, pretty much, is help credit unions make those decisions, lend into the customer segments or the risk segments that they might not historically have had comfort lending into. Yeah. And again, it's not that they're higher risk, it's that they don't have the data or the signals or the machine intelligence to differentiate that applicant A versus applicant B, or member A versus member B that I was giving in the previous example. In terms of reducing friction and helping with costs, the way I think about AI is that once we have designed and deployed an AI-based strategy for a credit union, the beauty of machines is, and we always have humans helping to set up that strategy, but once it's deployed, the machine will replicate it perfectly every time. And so, think of it as if, that example, applicant A has the same FICO as applicant B. If I score them today on the machine, or next week, or next year, or 5 years from now, the machine is going to do the exact same thing every single time. And so I don't have to retrain it. I don't have to hire it. I don't have to replace it when it quits and takes a new job. I don't have to find a backfill when it calls in sick, or is out 3 weeks with COVID. Like, all of the things that
We've all experienced the last year and a half.
Absolutely. A beautiful thing on top of getting a better, more precise signal with interpreting more data, but also just the replicability and the fact that it doesn't require any extra manpower to replicate that decision. And, that's where you get into that eliminating cost component. And typically the credit unions I work with, they're not looking to downsize their underwriting teams or the lending departments. They're looking to redeploy those resources into areas that we talked about. How can I get more applications? How can I convert? Maybe even, you know, AI may leave some meat on the bone. There's maybe the first pass of the obvious FICO 720 pluses. Then there's the AI pass, but there's always some of that gray area of member base that maybe a human can help come up with a more creative solution. Example would be, say, that applicant B, who's a little higher risk than applicant A, maybe he applied for a Lexus, and maybe he should be driving a used Toyota, and maybe a human can help work with them to get them into the right car and the right loan payment that they can afford. And the AI isn't necessarily at that level yet. AI is really making a decision based on, can I approve them for this loan amount with this payment, with this credit profile?
Right. And they build their credit with the Toyota, and then eventually they'll get to that Lexus. All right.
Down the line, they will. Exactly. Absolutely.
All good things come to those who wait. Patience. Hey, so can you share some experiences that chief lending officers who might implement these solutions? Because I think, again, I think this is really, and I think this is going to be, right now it's not quite the norm, but it's getting there.
Right.
And it's going to be the norm, right?
Right. I think, I'm talking to credit unions working to deploy these strategies with them, but it feels like this is definitely in the air. Everyone's talking about it. It's just, where are they on the adoption life cycle? I feel like there's a general sense that this is coming, but maybe not everyone is ready to, or has been ready to make that leap yet. In terms of the actual tangible results we've seen on the ground with the lenders we've deployed with, I always talk about there's kind of three things that we look for when deploying one of these strategies. One is increased automation. We've talked about that. Automation doesn't just mean instantaneous decisions. It also means perfect replicability every time. So that lender A versus B will always get the same decision, assuming that's how the strategies are coded up. Number two is higher approvals. So those first two are what every credit union I talk to is looking for.
Yep.
How can I approve more of my members? How can I lend more to them? That's how credit unions serve their member bases, by increasing approvals. And then number three, to a much lesser extent, because loss performance tends to be pretty healthy these days, because borrowers, members have cash in their bank accounts, but is lower loss rates. Those are the three kind of components that every lender is looking at. And if I'm working with a lender that may lend deeper into the subprime space, that third one, that lower losses, might weigh a little more. But typically, what we're able to do is we typically kind of try to increase the automation, increase the approvals, and keep losses the same, would be kind of the standard strategy build that we go with. And of the last couple of deployments I've been a part of in credit unions specifically, we're seeing anywhere from a 50% to a 50% increase to a 2x increase in automated approvals. So most lenders have some sort of rules, like if they're FICO 720 plus and they're not currently late on any payments and they're not late on any loans with us, the credit union, then let's set them up for auto approval. Those are pretty basic rules that a lot of lenders have in place. That's cutting out the obvious approvals, but it's not a huge pool, and so we can typically, like I said, 50% increase to 2x that base auto approval rate. But also on top of that, we're typically seeing anywhere from a 20 to 30% increase in overall approval rates. So not necessarily just pure automation, but we also will have applicants that might trigger a flag, might say, hey, their DTI is a little high or their LTV is a little high. So we're going to say they should be approved, but a human needs to kind of double check this or see if they can get them into a slightly cheaper car, like I was talking about. And when you weigh all that in, you're talking minimum 20-25% lift in approval rate.
That's awesome.
All
that's,
while
that's,
maintaining the same credit losses.
I mean, that's even a great start for somebody, So we
gotta absolutely. Start.
Yeah, that's fantastic numbers. And as you're talking, is this kind of like a set it and forget it type of thing? Or is there's always going to be tweaks and that type of stuff along the line? So I'm really curious about that.
Great question. Yeah. So we typically have kind of the low-hanging fruit that we go for in a first pass strategy. Mm-hmm. And so that involves those kind of numbers, say a 50% increase in automation and a 25% lift in approval rates. But there's always continuing ongoing adjustments that can be made. Okay. And that's the beauty of machine learning, right? The more applications you flow through the system, the more decisions it sees, mm-hmm. and the more loan performance it can read off of, the models will continue to refine and get smarter over time. On top of that, we do usually work with the lenders we work with, especially in the first 3 to 6 months, to analyze and say, hey, we're flagging a lot of people. Let's say the lender has a max DTI of 50% on indirect auto lending. And we see a lot of people in that 51 to 52%, even though they're the highest grade, the lowest risk quality. We would, you know, identify that through our routine monitoring and come back to the lender and say, hey, would you be comfortable bumping that up to 52%? Because we would see another 5 to 10% automated approvals with, you know, nominal, very, very insignificant increase in expected losses from mm-hmm. that. So there is that kind of human review that, like I said, takes place 3 to 6 months in that, okay. where we can deliver a lot of incremental lift.
Yeah. And the beauty of it, like you touched on in the first part of your answer, is that this stuff is only going to get better because it's just going to get smarter once it gets more data. Yeah, it's just going to get better. But yeah, you always kind of have that human intervention, or not necessarily intervention, but human ability to go in there and make tweaks and things like that, adjustments and stuff. So cool. Hey, even though these experiences sound great, it appears that there are still lenders who have questions about this stuff. So especially making that transition to AI, it may still seem a little bit, especially to people like me, a little science fiction-ish. So what do you say about them? And then why is this taking place?
Yeah. So I think like we talked about earlier, I think most lenders recognize this is coming. It's just, where are they in the adoption cycle? Are they an early adopter, or are they kind of a late follower? And I think the difference there is, you know, some balance of fear of things I don't understand well enough versus kind of embracing technology to help me grow. And so really the reason I think that some lenders might be hesitant is just wanting to see more use cases, wanting to see more examples, more success stories out there. Again, and it has to do with risk aversion versus I guess hunger for growth would be the kind of flip side. And as we get more lenders out there, as we have more credit unions, because you know, banks, large banks, particularly the more technologically advanced banks, are using machine learning models today, and they have been for the last several years.
Yeah.
This is really just, I think, bringing something that maybe 5+ years ago was only available to the largest lenders with the most sophisticated, deepest data science talent teams, you know, dozens of data scientists working on this, helping educate the organization. I think now we are seeing a bit of the democratization of AI, and that brings it to smaller lenders who may not have, you know, extreme data science depth in-house, but they do know good loan performance from bad loan performance. And as long as we can put the right monitorings and controls in place and mm-hmm. provide that reporting back to the lender and, you know, tell them they still drive the car. We give them all the tools, we set it all up for them, we give them the key, but they can put it in park and, you know, go in reverse at any time they want if they feel like they've bit off more than they can chew.
Yeah.
Three different
and this, analogies. And this levels the playing field too, right? You know, from small-ish,
absolutely.
You know, financial institution can pretty much compete with the big boys, right? So this
absolutely.
Is on the same level.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that a lot of the credit unions I work with will talk about, is that, you know, consumers today expect instantaneous decisions. They just do. And it's not just for lending. They expect to, you know, enter the credit card information and push a button, and now all of a sudden I can watch the 10,000 movies in Netflix's library, right? Like, they're consumers have become accustomed to having everything on demand. And part of that involves having a loan approved on demand. And, mm-hmm. and that is really what we're trying to empower the credit unions to do, is to level that playing field, not suffer and lose members, lose applications because they're taking a little more time. Rather, you know, your member base, you just We just want to give you a few more tools to have more confidence to lend to them so that you can not lose them to the larger lenders that have no relationship with them, but might have responded quicker.
Yeah, because there is choice out there now, and they will go somewhere where they can get that, because we as consumers, I hate to say it, are spoiled rotten when it comes to this stuff. So this is, like you said, this is the expectation now. And you mentioned early adoption earlier. So what are some benefits and challenges of being an early adopter? Because I mean, yeah, I think we all see, I would love to get your take on that. Because when you're an early adopter to something that's going to be successful, you're set yourself up for, you know, a bright, bright future.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the main benefit that I tell everyone who asks a question like that is, you know, the sooner you get onto a platform that is learning on your data, it just speeds up your learning curve. Mm-hmm. So you're always going to be one or two steps ahead from someone who may be a later adopter, because we've got, when we deploy a new strategy, it's going to be built off of your history, but it only is built off of the history that we can see. So typically that means the loans that the credit union has historically booked. Once we roll all of your applications through our platform, then we're seeing the full universe of prospective loans that you might book. And the model is learning on a much larger base. And we all know in data science, you know, more sample is better, more applications are better, more loans are better to learn from. And so the sooner you get deployed, the sooner you're running through an AI-based decision engine, the more sample you get, the smarter the model gets. And again, you're going to be that much ahead of not just the competition, but just the lending space. 2, 3, 4 years from now, you'll still have that head start because you'll have more data.
Yeah, but don't wait too long. I mean, I know like credit unions, they like to see if it's proven, like you said earlier, credit unions like to see if something is proven before they dive in. And when they dive in, they all go in and it's all great. But man, don't wait too long with this type of stuff. You don't want to miss the train too much here.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. It can feel black boxes. It can feel like something you don't understand. But with every client that we deploy with, we're typically taking the first, like I said, month, 2 months, 3 months, and we're going through some of those decisions with them. It's not just a user acceptance testing at the day you go live and then it's, you know, Synaptic's done and you're on your own. Mm-hmm. We work with them. We look at it and we say, hey, have you found any corner cases? Have you found any examples of people you maybe should have been auto approved or maybe should not have been auto approved? Can you feed that back to us? And we'll work with you to kind of, you know, fine tune those rules or those scores so that we get it to exactly where you need it over time.
Yeah, indeed. Last question for you here. And it just kind of popped into my head. Can predictive analytics play a role in this? And if so, how?
Great question. So predictive analytics really involves, again, taking large sums of data and trying to predict what will happen when you run that data through in a real life environment.
Yeah.
And absolutely, the more data, the more we can use that data to make decisions, to score legacy decisions, and to evaluate in real time. That is an absolute use case. And in fact, we're expanding our use case from beyond just approving or declining an applicant at the time of application to working with our lending partners, our credit unions, to continue to reevaluate those credits over the life of the credit life cycle. So for example, if it's a credit card, that member may call in 12 months from now and say, hey, I'd like a limit increase from $5,000 to $10,000. I never missed a payment. Can you help me out? We are working with several of our lenders to have the scores running in the background on a batch process, maybe daily or monthly, so that the call rep who's on the phone can look that up and say, oh yeah, this member is eligible for a limit increase because they are a good credit risk. And we know that we pulled their bureau 3 months ago and we know that they're not late on any of their other trades. Cool. So there are all sorts of other use cases. We are not limited to just making a credit decision at time of application. There are cross sells. There are, like I said, limit increase strategies. There are opportunities to optimize strategies and collections. And we're working with our partner clients through all of those use cases.
Yeah, lots of opportunity here for sure. And again, we are just scratching the surface here. So really exciting. Oh my gosh, Eric, I could talk for hours on this type of stuff. I just love it. It's just so fascinating to me. I'm kind of a geek in this area. I don't know much about it, but
I love it.
I talk to people like you, it just, my curiosity just gets the best of me. So thank you for that. Anything else, having said that, anything else to add to wrap up here?
I think you really hit on the key point just a minute ago, which is, you know, start now, don't wait. There is a lot of opportunity out there. A lot of lenders are leaving meat on that bone, are not maximizing the approval rates, and really, you know, indirectly, therefore, not offering the best credit solutions to their members. If you're declining members that you otherwise should be approving, mm-hmm. that's really a lost opportunity to not just make another loan, but to really serve your member base. So, yeah. Please, you know, look into this. Reach out. This is not sci-fi. This is not black box.
Not anymore.
We can make it very very understandable and help you get along the kind of learning curve and the change management comfort adoption curve to make this decision.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this is the real deal now. And like you said, it's much, much easier to understand now, especially when there's so many use cases out there, successful use cases out there now. So yeah, really good stuff. All right, Eric, absolutely. Well, I'm going to let you get back to work. Appreciate the time as always. Again, quite the education. So we thank you for that. And we thank you for your time. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Mike.